This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let me my experience of being a self-storage owner and operator in the year 2024. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Hit the store tab and see the training that's offered, both free and paid for. Courses like how to build your first self-storage facility, how to buy your first self-storage facility, how to fundraising, all the way to the premier training I offer, which is the on-demand Quick Start Self-Storage Boot Camp. We should be having a live boot camp sometime in the first quarter of 2025. I'm still working out the details. More about that coming up. But we're getting to the end of the year, 2024, and I wanted to just kind of recap, share my experience of being in this space. Now, keep in mind that between 2019 and 2021, I sold most of our self-storage off. We had two brands. I sold them both. And I'm getting back in the storage business, albeit in a smaller level and with different kind of partnerships. But own some. Doing some developments right now, doing some expansions right now. But my overall experience of being in this space in the last year could be literally summed up in one word, and that is slow. Everything occurs slow in 2024. It was slow getting in deals. It was slow moving the deals we have in place down the road. It was slow getting approval on the projects that we're doing. Everything seemed slow in 2024. The reality is it just our deals moved at whatever pace they did. But to me and my thinking, it just didn't happen fast enough. Imagine that, the world not lining up with how I think it ought to. Let's talk about acquisitions, first of all. One thing I've learned in the last year or so is you've got to write a lot of LOIs. There are less opportunities out there than there were a few years ago. The brokers I talk to are saying there's less deals, less closings happening, less product on the market, but they are doing deals. I've also seen a lot of unpriced listings or market bid listings. In the old days, I very liberally would delete those. And I have this picture in my mind of a broker sitting down with a seller, telling them what they think the value range is. The seller was still wanting a 5 cap. And the broker says, well, I don't think I can get that, but we'll bring it to the market unpriced and see what happens. That's probably not what happens, but that's the picture I have in my mind. And in the past, I just mostly deleted those. But today, I'm underwriting many of them and putting LOIs out. We got to put a lot more LOIs out than we used to. Either way, whether they're priced or unpriced, underwrite them very conservatively. Put your benchmark numbers in there, whatever return yields you're after, and don't make, you know, any pie-in-the-sky assumptions. Don't assume you're going to be able to lease it real quick or that you're going to have multiple price increases the first few years. Just underwrite it very conservatively, and whatever it comes up in the range that you can pay for that deal, that's what your LOI is, regardless of the price, regardless of whether it's priced or not. Just write a lot of LOIs. Very often, people will come back to you. Even if it's it goes under contract with somebody else, sometimes these deals recycle themselves. In my coaching life, in many ways, what I've seen is people who have a sales background actually are better mentally equipped for kind of the current market that we're in. I mean, people with a sales background know that it is a numbers game. They have X number of prospects, and they know that X number of prospects will eventually turn into X number of sales or clients. And for them, it's just a numbers game. And they're mentally, in many ways, better equipped than somebody without a sales background coming into the space today. Just know you got to write. You got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. Also, don't be too attached to a deal once you get it under contract. Be willing to walk during the due diligence if anything happens. I know you got to write a lot of LOIs. I know it takes a lot to get a deal standing still. But don't force a deal to work today that doesn't work. There's nothing wrong with letting a deal go and going on down the road for the next one. In 2025, if I'm not getting enough deals, all I've got to do is analyze more, improve my deal flow to look at. So overall, how would I summarize acquisitions in 2024? Slow. Speaking of slow, let's talk about development approvals. If finding deals is slow, moving deals through the pipeline is usually at the county regulatory agency level this year was very slow. Now, it may just be me, but my experience is that the people at the county level made a real art out of being hard to get hold of during COVID. Everyone was sheltered in, working from home. And since then, my experience has been, doesn't matter where I'm at in the country, the development process seems very slow today, much slower than it used to be. Maybe it's less workers, maybe they're overloaded. Who knows? But they've made a real art, in my experience, out of being hard to get. Now I know I'm complaining and I'll stop it. But even in, quote, business-friendly states like Florida, I find it very difficult to even talk to someone at the county level. We've got some counties down there. Our procedure was we would have a preliminary meeting with people at the regulatory agency, say this is what we're planning to do here, and then we would go start work on our development layout to be able to submit to them. But we would have those preliminary meetings so we weren't wasting time, and we were designing our development to hit some of the key things that they were interested in. Many counties in Florida, you can't talk to anybody. You've got to design your development plan, upload it to a website, and wait for someone to call. Again, I know I'm just whining, but my experience of the development approval process in 2024 was slow. Let's talk about the boat and RV sector. I'm still very bullish on it. I became as bullish, if not more, in 2024. We have a project or two where we're designing a boatload of boat and RV storage, real nice canopy enclosed systems that will serve a real need in this boat and RV space. But here's something I'm just cautioning you on. Be careful about some markets. There have been a few markets we've looked at where we're looking at putting our canopy system in, and there are other nice, you know, Class A or real nice boat and RV developments with canopy systems and closed systems, and they're getting in the kind of 50 cents something a square foot per month range on rent for those systems. we need to be getting close to 75 cents a square foot to make these projects really pencil out for us and be something we get excited about. So in markets, there are a few markets out there where there will be competitive product of what we're bringing on, nice canopy boat and RV systems that are 25, 30, 35% below what we need to be at. And you know, I'm just not going to compete against that coming out of the chute. I don't mind being the most expensive in a market, but I don't want to be 30% over what my competitor is. Hell, I'd rent from my competitor before I'd rent my space. So if you're bringing in equal kind of product, it's okay to be the most expensive, but just really pay close attention to that. But I really see a bright future in this space for the upcoming years. I mean, there are 11,000 baby boomers retiring a day. A large percentage of those will be using boat and RVs and need to store them somewhere. Production levels are not going down. New boat and RVs are being made at record levels, and they're selling. So this is a space I'm very bullish on. Just have a good location and be in a good market. Pay close attention to your competitors' rents. And finally, let's talk about flex space. What? Self-storage? Flex space? Well, flex space is the new shiny object in the self-storage space. A lot of storage developers are also putting flex type products on their development projects. Now, these aren't the REITs. These are the smaller players, kind of like us, most likely. Now, what do I mean by flex? Flex is office warehouse. You'll hear it called a couple things. I called it flex space. You can hear it called office warehouse or small bay. And it's really strange because in the late 80s, early 90s, I work for a developer, and we built a lot of flex space. They would build it. I would lease it. I sat in the offices where with a yellow pad, the developer would kind of scratch the numbers out and see if a project worked. And I cut my teeth in commercial real estate leasing flex space. It's kind of strange that that's like the new shiny object in the storage space. But if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. I'm actually looking at putting a project together with boat and RV storage and flex space storage. In many ways, they complement each other. It's somewhat the same. It's unless you do brick or a very fancy facade, mostly what we tended to do as much as possible was metal buildings with concrete floors. Some of the things attracting people in the self-storage space to flex space is it's in essence the same kind of product, designed differently. And in many cases, developers who are using dynamic pricing and the storage, you know, your rents are all over the place. With flex space, your rents are locked in 1, 3, 5 years. And in most cases, it's triple net income or close to it. So you can project your cash flow pretty accurately, whereas your storage actual income may vary depending on what's going on in your particular market and how many REITs there are there. So many developers are liking the stability of flex space at the moment. And not all, but a lot of the customer base for both storage and flex are the same. Small, local business owner. Also, in markets like Florida, for example, where industrially zoned land is scarce and they're not making much more of it, Florida would much rather focus on residential and tourism than industry. And so industrial zoned land is at a premium. For instance, the flex space area can be as high as $20 triple net or more. In most of the rest of the country, you'll see net square foot rents kind of in the $8 to $14 a square foot range. In the market we're looking in, we're pushing to get $12, but we think we can get 12. Now, flex space has an office component to it, anywhere from just an office and a bathroom all the way up to, let's say, 20%, 25% office. I think you'll hear a lot more about it in the storage space, and I think you'll start seeing flex space developers showing up at the ISS and the SSA conventions. I'm actually going to do an episode about flex space in January. There's a lot of similarities. There's also a lot of differences. Don't just rush headlong into it. You got to kind of know what you're doing, get a good education on it, and get somebody that's good at consulting that could help you if you have no, if you've never been involved in flex at all. That was kind of my experience in 2024 in this space. And I want to say Happy New Year to you. And I want to say next year will be a faster pace and prosperous year. We still have some challenges in the economy, and we still have some challenges in the storage space, but we've always had challenges. It looks like Q4 street rates are going up. That appears to be a good thing. And a lot of people are real bullish on the new administration coming up. But no matter what the conditions are at any given moment, as an entrepreneur, our success is not limited by the conditions. Our success as an entrepreneur is limited by our thinking. Keep your thinking right, keep your eye on the goal, and you'll be amazed. I've seen the universe conspire to have me win, and I've seen other people win when the odds are stacked against them. In my world, in my life, it's my dance with my thinking and with the universe that makes the difference. Conditions are always changing. Success is mostly a mental phenomenon. Keep your thinking straight as we move into 2025. And this is how I'm creating success in my mind for all of us in this upcoming year. So thank you very much. I look forward to being with you again. I don't know if we might have one more episode in 2024. I'm not sure how it's being loaded up. But I definitely look forward to being with you in 2025. I don't take your watching these episodes for granted. And if you're interested in the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the products we use to analyze opportunities, at the end of this video, there'll be a link to find out more information about it. And it's a tool I use every day. So thank you, and I look forward to being with you again soon.